The value of discipline in achieving awareness of absolute. The value of discipline in achieving awareness of absolute. This is God Unlimited, University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, here in Campo, California, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean, and bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. The value of discipline in achieving awareness of absolute. Well, I could talk about that for a long time. If you want to learn how to drive a car, you have to discipline yourself to do the things necessary to drive the car. And if you don't do the things necessary to drive the car, you may drive the car. But when you come to need a skill that you would have learned if you had done it properly, it's not there. You may be so fast, so quick, so alert that you don't pay attention to what other people tell you, that when an emergency jumps in front of your face, you're not prepared for it because you hadn't prepared for it before. Now, that preparation has another word, and that's called discipline. When we prepare ourselves for anything, then as it comes to us, we are not surprised, or we are ready for it to experience it. So we want to achieve the awareness of absolute. How do we achieve the awareness of absolute? What sort of things do we have to do and to prepare ourselves to achieve the awareness of absolute? You say, well, what is absolute? Well, let's drop that word off, and let's say to achieve awareness. Awareness of what? Of anything. Awareness of anything. If you would like to experience the awareness of being an exquisite person who knows a lot, we received a flyer from an Indian who was telling about his shaman training. And he takes people up to Santa Cruz from the area, wherever, and trains them in the shaman techniques that he learned from his teacher for the last 12 years of his teacher's life. And his teacher took him on at 98 years old, and he died at 110. So now that's quite a teacher. And that teacher was from Mexico, from the inner area of Mexico. And they had learned many shamanistic ways of healing, ways of doing mystical things, ways of showing, I'm sure, dropping the powder in the fire and having a poof come, and then all of a sudden something interesting is revealed. They teach the way of how your dreams work and all these other things. Now, let me preface anything further I'm going to say on that with the comment that no matter what they're teaching, if they believe it and you believe it, you can experience it. Now, is it for real or is it an illusion? Well, anything human is an illusion. And you can have any illusion that you want. You can have the shamanistic illusion of dream awareness. You can have shamanistic illusion of healing, that somebody else does the healing to you or for you, or you do it for yourself. You can have anything. And as many of you in your innocence and your ignorance, you know, they both begin with the I, with your innocence and your ignorance, you say, I don't care, I'm sick and I want to be well. I'll do whatever has to be done to make me well. And that's where the old phrase comes from, sell your soul to the devil so that you can get through this situation that is so pressing upon you. Well, that's why that is so. Now, let's dwell on that for a second. To sell your soul to the devil so that you will have healing is another illusion. You can say you're going to do a nice deed, and that nice deed is going to bring you healing. Or you can say you're going to sell your soul to the devil And that will bring you a nice healing, because the devil will heal you. But the devil will also own you. And so, with the devil owning you, you are doing exactly what you want to do. Whatever the devil requires of you is what you want to do, or else you would not have sold your soul to the devil. So whatever it is you're doing, and it might be considered evil, it is your choice. And you say, well, the devil owns my soul, I can't do any differently. Well, quit. Quit the devil. Sell your soul to God. Well, I've already sold to the devil. Hey, let the devil take your old, used-up soul that you're not interested in anymore, and create a new soul and sell that to God, and then follow that direction. But hey, you can do anything. It doesn't matter what you want to do. You can do anything. And this is the wonderful thing about being a human being. There are no rules. There are no rules as to what you must do, what you must believe, and how you must get there. Oh, our Bible scholars and our Bible thumpers, they tell us that there's only one way, and that's through the teachings of Jesus, which is a pretty sound set of teachings, or through the teachings of the Buddha, or some other great and wondrous religious leader. You understand? And are those people wrong? Are the Hindus wrong? Are the Buddhists wrong? Are the Islam wrong? Are the Christians right or wrong? You know, it depends on which game you're playing. Now, if you are an Islam, you have no qualms about thinking that your philosophy is absolutely right. And if you're a Christian, the same is equally true. And you will defend to your life what you believe, whether it's Christian, Hindu, Islam, whatever it may be. You will defend to your life. Well, what a silly thing to do. You are defending not a principle, you are defending a philosophy. Now, is this philosophy good to you? Is this philosophy beneficial to you? Is this philosophy something you want to teach to your children? Do you think it's going to make them happy and give them a happy life? Well, they'll be saved from sin and they'll be saved from hell, and so it'll probably give them a happy life, you know. Well, hey, let's take the sin and hell out of there, and let's say, are they prepared for their divinity? Are they prepared for God? Are they preparing themselves for God? Now, what were the handmaidens, the bridesmaids, doing in the bridal chamber when the bride was ready to have sex with his wife? Were they there to tell him how to do it, or tell her how to do it, or you know, shower them with flowers or some other thing? What were they doing there? Well, that just was the tradition. How would you like to get married and have a bunch of girls standing around wanting to serve your every need while you and your wife are learning how to have sex together? Wouldn't it be fun? Sound really great, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, you see, our traditions are not that way. And yet that is what the illustration Jesus used, because that came out of the Hindu teachings, you know, the Hebrew teachings. But you see, if we don't discipline ourselves to follow whatever it is that we believe, and it doesn't matter what we believe, but to follow whatever it is that we believe, we will never gain awareness of what we are through our belief, because our belief demands 100% of our attention, or else it will not function for us. If I say to you, Ellen, sit down and put one hand forward and one hand back, and then you'll be healed. And Ellen sits down, and she puts the other hand forward and the other hand back, and she says, is this right? I said, no, it's the other way. She says, oh, it's the other way. Well, you blew it now. You blew it. You didn't naturally put your hands in the right way because you were not disciplined to do it in the right way, so therefore you don't get the healing, you know. Now, what if you put it the right way? Would you get the healing?
Yes.
Definitely. You'd get the healing, and wonderful, you're healed. I am. I am. But you see, all of life is a matter of this. And we certainly cannot be so inane and unseemingly proud to think that our philosophy and our religion is right for everybody. Oh, we would like to see everyone enjoy the benefits of our philosophy. But damn it to hell, are you enjoying the benefits of your philosophy? Are you independently wealthy? Are you whole and perfect? Are you surrounded by people who love you? Are you surrounded by people who you love? Are you doing the job that you want to do? Are you doing a job just because it pays you a good salary and you've had it for a long time? Are you living in the house that makes you happy? Well, now, you can't say yes to all of those things. Some, perhaps, but not all. Well, why should someone else follow your philosophy if your philosophy does not get you the things that you feel are important? Well, the reason is you're not following your philosophy. If you were to follow your philosophy, you would have everything. Because your philosophy says, just like I'm sharing with everyone, be yourself and have fun. Whoever you are, be yourself and enjoy yourself. And if you are being yourself and having fun, you can be sure that all the gifts of the universe will shower upon you in such measure you will not have the capacity to even recognize what's happening. You will just live in that blissful, fulfilled experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And you won't know. You will have gone through that instant of awareness, hey, it works. And then you will forget about that it works, and you'll just be enjoying that it works, and that everything is being revealed. Well, Herb, why'd you have to swear a little while back? Well, why do we act so stupid? Why do we think that anybody wants to follow our religion when our religion is not bringing us what we say we should be having? Now, if you are one of the chosen of God, well, you should be living in great luxury. You should be living in a body that is absolutely wonderful, yes? You should be surrounded by people who are super califragilisticexpialidocious. You should be experiencing every desire of your heart absolutely. But if you are not, it means one thing. Either your religion doesn't work, or you're not working your religion, you know? And most likely it's the latter. You're not working your religion. Your religion says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Do you do unto others as you have them do unto you? Yes. You're mean to other people when you see them being mean to you. You don't go to... Ah, my mother, I was just reading a little item that she had written, and she had written this Dare to be a Daniel, and she was going to go and give a talk in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, for her friend Laverne Bauer, who was going down to Unity School to study for that several weeks. And so Mother had prepared this wonderful talk, and of course she was going to go up to give it. And 2 days before she went up, she was on the phone talking to friends, and the neighbor banged on the wall and said, "You're making too much noise, I can hear you." You know, and my mother thought, my goodness sakes, you know, nobody has ever complained about me making too much noise. And so then the next day, the neighbor called again. And Mother said, "I must be in charge of myself. I must be in charge of myself. I must look at her and bless her and let myself realize that she's got a right to be unhappy if she wants to be, but that doesn't make me unhappy." And so then the next day, they were playing bridge together, and Mother sat at the table with this lady who, you know, was there a foursome, there a bridge. And so Mother said, this was just before it, "There's a reason that I'm going to be at her table, so that I can love her, so that I can ignore the past and live in the present." And she says, "I'm so glad that I'm going to give this talk, Dare to be a Daniel, because I had so much to learn from it. You know, I had so much to learn from doing it." And you see, here Mother is. She was a minister for umpty-dump years. She raised five kids. She knew not to be irritated by anything, you know. And she had neighbors who were good, bad, and indifferent, you know. And she had a husband who was good, bad, and indifferent, you know. And all of these things that were making her life living hell or happy. And she decided to make it happy. But she still, when Pop died and she moved into her old folks home, so to speak, what do they call it, retirement home, the people were there from every walk with every attitude. And she let this lady bother her just because the lady was sticking her nose in her business. And all she'd have to do is say, "Oh, thank you for telling me. I'm very sorry that I disturbed you. I don't ever want to disturb anybody. I want to just share with them. Why don't we have coffee together? I'd like to get to know you so that we could, you know, we're neighbors, you know." And the lady said, "Okay, you know." But the thing is, always agree with your adversary quickly. And when you do that, they're no longer your adversary. And Mother did end up having her as a friend just before she moved out of the place, but it's better than not at all. But you see, if you live your philosophy, if you live your teaching, if you live what you believe, if you are following whatever it is that you say you believe, you will have a wonderful life. And you will have awareness of absolute. Because absolute is fulfillment. Absolute is the is, beingness, the allness. And so then, you know, the Buddha, he was supposed to have had nirvana, been aware of bliss. But he was aware of it for so short a time that he really didn't apply it in his life. Because if he had applied it in his life, he would have been untouched by any of the people that came to learn from him. And he certainly could not have been touched by tainted food that was served to him that caused his death when he was 85. Now, you see, when you touch the light and live the way, you experience harmony, peace, love, joy, and goodness in all your life. I am certainly not one to stand here and say the Buddha was wrong. I'm not saying that either. But I am saying that when we get the light and we don't follow the light, we might well not have had the light. In the book Illusions by Richard Bach, this reluctant messiah, Donald Shimoda, is telling Donald many things and saying to Donald, "You can do this. This is how it works. That's how it functions." And Donald did it. But he was so incredulous after having done it that he might just as not have done it. Because if it were really true that he did do it, and he did, he should have gone doing it. You know how kids do it? Once they learn something new, they're doing it all. And once they learn a new word, they're using that word for everything, you know, even though it doesn't fit. But if Donald really, Richard really was in tune with Donald Shimoda, his mentor, if he really was, he would have carried that on and done beautiful things. As it was just a pleasant fiction. And that's what all of we are having, all of us, just a pleasant fiction, because it sounds good, it does feel good, but who's done it? I'll tell you who's done it. The ones who have done it, you don't know them anymore, because they're not in your company. They're not the slightest bit interested in being with you beginners. No, Ellen, that's one step. And as long as you have not accepted it, you're a beginner. The minute you accept it, plop, you got it. You're there. It's done unto you according to your belief. One instant, the criminal on the cross with Jesus, in one instant he says, "I believe in you. I believe in you. And Jesus said to him, today art thou with me in paradise. You see, it doesn't matter how scarlet your life or sins may be. When you have come to that point of awareness, the door of the Absolute opens up before you, and there is no otherness. There's only oneness. There's only peace. And that's what this is all about. So, the value of discipline in achieving awareness of Absolute, it's absolutely necessary. I love you. I love you. I love you.